99.1, the FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, KKFT.
As always, it is live and local on 99.1 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3 with me, Jay Biggs, and John Potter.
Silence! You clinking, clanking collection of cogs!
I'm sorry, I just finished a Lost in Space binge.
Wow, I guess so. Remember? Got all the lines down.
Silence! You clinking, clanking collection of cogs!
Oh, silence is something that doesn't go well on the radio. So
the younger people don't know what the heck I'm saying. Hey, Jay, I'm John Potter. Nice to meet you.
Well, again, and everyone out there listening in Radio Land, hello. 775-884-9910 is our number. So if you hear something this morning you want to call in, you have a comment about, you have questions, please, by all means, we would love for you to be involved in the show. You can also find us on Facebook. Just go and look for 99.1 FM Talk. In the Reno Sparks area. And of course, you can also go and stream us live anytime at 991fmtalk.com. There's lots of ways to listen to us, John.
And what a lineup we have for you today. A great artist is our first guest. Then Rick Canale from Remax Gold. We're going to have a guest from the Nevada Day Parade. We have a World War II author. Have you heard of Take Two Performance Studio? You want your kids to learn singing and acting and things like that? They're on the show, along with the Reno Tahoe International Art Show. We're going to have the Nevada Division of State Parks, the Carson City Victory Rollers, Roller Derby, and Bullies is having an awesome beer competition today. Ooh. And we have Bullies on the show near the end.
Oh, that's going to be fun. Love me some Bullies, especially those wings. Bullies dozens, what are they, 15?
I'll tell them when they come in here, the place has improved. It really has. I like the one at Vista sitting outside. And you can do the same at Mayan. Nice little porch out there.
Boy, I was worried. I'm not going to lie. I was concerned when Paul left us.
Yes.
You know how things were going to go. But boy, they definitely have stepped it up.
And they keep the happy hour in this economy.
John loves his
happy
hours. I mean,
kudos. That's my nightlife.
If you want, okay, well, that being said, let's go ahead and do some local news and comment.
Here we go, news and comment, local news and comment. A bad crash left five people with injuries in Incline Village yesterday afternoon at about 2 o'clock. The collision happened at the intersection of Highway 28 and Country Club Drive and involved a semi-truck and a small SUV. Two people were sent to the hospital, three others treated on the scene for minor injuries. A Reno man was sentenced yesterday to life in prison with the possibility of parole for killing his ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend. 44-year-old Michael Woods pled guilty to second-degree murder of 47-year-old David Rowe. In November 2020, Woods confronted Rowe at a house they previously shared and attacked him. Rowe died of blunt force trauma.
Yeah, I read that story on the news yesterday. That's, man, jealous lovers' quarrels.
Yeah, to the nth degree. 16-year-old Kylie Rodney is still missing, though investigators are still on the search. Truckee and Auburn, California police and the Placer County Sheriff's Office just finished a check with compliant sex offenders throughout North Tahoe and Truckee. Several were found to be in violation of their terms. One was arrested with criminal charges filed on another. But Kylie Rodney has been missing for 2 weeks now, and few of the up to 300 people at the party she was at have come forward with information. And the reward for information leading to her return is now $75,000 after an anonymous donor gave $25,000.
Yeah, this, you know, I got to tell you, this is blowing my mind. I'm not seeing, am I wrong? I'm not seeing the same coverage as I saw for like the Naomi Arion situation I did for her. I'm just not, as far as like news outlets and people talking about this story, because what were they interviewing, 200 or 300 kids? They were at this party that she was at?
Well, yeah, there were 200 to 300 kids at the party, but very few will talk to investigators or call them up and say, I saw her do this, or she went off with this person. Very few.
This is so shady to me. It's so weird. Yeah,
a lot of people must have seen her. The Washoe County Sheriff's Office catalytic anti-theft program seems to be a success. They've given out 1,300 stencils so far, and no one who has used them has experienced a theft. What you do is you go online, put in your VIN number, the sheriff's office sends you a stencil of it, and your mechanic uses a bright color paint to put the VIN on your catalytic converter. It's to stop the rash of cats in the area, which are expensive for you if yours is stolen. Just go to washosheriff.org. Okay, washosheriff.org and search catalytic program. Tourists are filling up Reno hotel rooms. That's according to Visit Reno Tahoe, which is another name for the Reno Sparks Convention and Visitors Authority. They say the 2021 to 2022 fiscal year was a record breaker with the most taxable room revenue ever recorded here in a fiscal year. Taxable room revenue in Washoe County was up 13.9% from 2019. Now, Reno Tahoe uses 2019 for comparison because it's pre-COVID. The biggest money month from visitors was last month with close to $54 million in room tax revenue. That's just the tax revenue, $54 million. They take like 6.5% of the money for hotel rooms, and it goes into the room tax.
$54 million. I mean, that's a spaghetti bowl project and a homeless encampment.
I mean, something. A new poll shows things are looking good for Republicans in the Silver State. The Trafalgar Group, a survey company based in Atlanta, polled close to 1,100 likely Nevada voters. They actually sent the survey out to like 100,000, and they got like a 2% return rate. So this is what 1,100 likely Nevada voters who responded say.
Well, that's because they're not like Arbitron and put a dollar in there.
That's right. Well, this poll shows Governor Sisolak and Senator Catherine Cortez Masto are behind in their races. In the governor's race, 46.2% of respondents support Joe Lombardo. 43.6% are for Sisolak. 5.8% undecided. In the Senate race, 46.7% pick Adam Laxalt. 44.3% chose Cortez Masto with 5.5% undecided. The poll has it now here. The poll. It has a 2.9, if you go by mathematics, 2.9% margin of error. Those two races are closer than that 2.9%. So all we can say really is it's going to be close on both races.
Yeah, it's going to be too close to call, probably.
Yeah, with the edge toward Republicans, if this kind of close 2.9% margin of error and well, they're like 3.2% separate, so...
As long as the integrity of voting day is kept, we should be okay.
Reno had a visit from the U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary yesterday. Xavier Becerra toured two local health facilities. The first one is the new Community Health Alliance Center for low-income patients in Sun Valley. It opens later this month. He then visited crisis support services on South Virginia, which takes phone calls around the clock from people undergoing mental health issues. Becerra touted the new federal 988 mental health hotline. It's online. It launched earlier this year. People dial 988 if they're having a mental health crisis.
Does that have something to do with why we're dialing 775 now or something?
I think that's one of the reasons they had to go to the 775 dialing, which I still can't get used to.
You know what blows me? So this is the hard one. Sometimes I use a regular phone and not just my cell phone, and you have to dial just like 775 whatever number. Well, I'm used to like if you put that that area code, you got to put a 1 first. You don't have to do that when you're dialing locally.
Sometimes you do the 1, sometimes not. Yeah, I do the 775.
We need to get on the same page, America. What are we doing? Are we putting that 1 first? Are we not?
But I dial old style without the area code, and that recorded lady, who is she, who comes on?
I don't know, man. She's got more airplane.
You must first dial.
Right.
Last night was the kickoff of high school football throughout Northern Nevada. Hug High School had its biggest win last night, crushing visiting Lyndhurst 55-0.
What?
This was also in the... Thank you, producer man. This was against their Rollins Stallworth Stadium at the brand new Hug High School. And that game broke Hug's 40-game losing streak. Wow. Another big win came from the Douglas High Tigers beating visiting Argonaut 20-0. Galena topped North Valley's 39-6, and Reno High went on the road to beat Linden 34-6. However, on the losing side of things for local teams, defending region champion McQueen lost to Grant 42-0.
Oh, wow.
Escalon beat Damani Ranch 43-29. Yeah. It was Bingham over Bishop Minogue 48-9. Faith Lutheran won over Reed High 37-13. Lowry over Fernley 34-14. Liberty from Bakersfield, California, top Spanish Springs 58-17. Heartbreaking. Wow. And the Carson High Senators had a rough opening game, losing 35-0 to visiting Sutter, California. Our local teams play again next weekend.
Well, John, you ready for some football? It is football season, so.
I'm ready, Jay, for football and art.
Art, that's right. We might as well. Hey, Mo Murray, she's a local artist. She's going to be in with us next to talk about all of her art. It's right here on Live and Local with John and Jay on Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Live, local, FM talk, KKFT, for Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
It's always live, it's always local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM talk and Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3. 775-884-9910 is our phone number if you have any questions or comments for our guests or us. And I want to remind you that we also have a podcast you can check out once this show is over at noon. About an hour later, you can go and click the podcast drop down at 991fmtalk.com and you can listen anytime you want.
Artist Mo Murray creates pen and ink drawings of the Tahoe Basin, Virginia City, Truckee, Carson, with pen and ink on site when she's out, I guess, hiking around Lake Tahoe, Truckee, and Carson with her sons. She sits down in the middle of a beautiful scene and draws it. What do you, Mo, what do your sons do when you're making these intricate drawings? They watching you?
No, my sons are exploring the mountains, climbing from the age of 5 years old. I'd say just go and find something to do. Take your Malamute with you and you'll be safe. And they were all of five and enjoyed just going exploring the mountains, the rivers, snowmobiling, anything.
So done those this are good all... inspirations for your drawings.
You've done this all your life because I asked you, what did you do before you became an artist? You said, no, I've always been an artist.
Since probably the age of six.
What's it been like?
It's so much fun just to sit there and be totally absorbed in what you're seeing and trying to capture what the earth is giving you and the animals. And it's so amazing. You're just so taken by it that you're on overwhelm. You know, you're so cleansed.
Now, Mo, me and you initially had talked. You work at a tax service that's kind of above the radio station here. And so we see each other quite a bit.
Right.
And you started telling me about your art. And I have a couple pieces actually framed and up in my house now. We have some here in the studio as well. Lots of studio art that you brought for us today to check out as well. But you told me your story about how you grew up on a ranch. Was it Northern California?
Tucson,
Arizona. Okay. Tucson, Arizona. And your mom would basically try to get rid of you throughout the day or something and say, hey, just go out and do this or something, you know, and she would give you a pen and a paper and you would go out and draw, right?
Go with the taxidermist and go with the people that were shoeing the horses and anything to get, you know, your kids out there in the fresh air. And it was wonderful.
I like how you dressed up the studio with all of your work. You have drawings of the horses and cowboys and the beautiful trees and the mountains. And this is, to me, this is the kind of art I love to see. We've all seen bad art. Haven't we? I remember being in the Nevada Museum of Art and seeing this big orange square on display, and I thought, I could have done that. This is intricate. This is very beautiful. That must take you each one.
Yeah, how much time do these take usually for you, Mo?
About 80 hours, but on that particular one with the horse and rider, I was at the ranch up in Chilkoot, Goodwin's General Store. It has a ranch up there in Truckee, in that area.
Yeah.
And anyway, it's phenomenal. So they invited me to a branding, And I stood in the corral with the cattle running all over, and the horses just kept me safe.
Oh, that's awesome. That's like, I mean, that's pure art right there.
Chilkoot is where you sell, right?
Yes, up at the general store there and coffee shop.
Chilkoot Frosty? Right
Chilicoot
across from there.
Yeah, exactly.
What is going on with, what is it with Northern California? What is it with Highway 70 and frosty places?
Oh. It's at the entrance to Frenchman's Lake.
Yes.
And so some of the art I've done is up there. And so they offered the opportunity.
It's the old Wiggins, right?
Yes.
Yes. They have an awesome butcher in there.
Oh, and I know her name is Donna. And everything there is organic, and so it's just a pleasure to be there. The people are so friendly.
And your drawings are all over the store there?
Generally in the coffee shop area.
Well, I'll tell you what, I know an artist in town who hears from everybody whenever or wherever she shows her drawings, and she hears from everybody and her friends and her family when they look at her work. They, oh, this is wonderful. Oh, the detail. Oh, my gosh, that is amazing. And she does all she can to not blurt out, well, buy it then.
Oh, God. Right.
It's frustrating, isn't it? It's beautiful. Well, buy it then.
It's like somebody that's hot at an art auction, you know? You go to fan yourself, and next thing you know, you spent $10,000.
Well, how much are these?
Yeah. At Chilkoot, the prints are about $50. And,
that's not bad.
And then the bigger pieces of Truckee, those would go about $300. Okay. So it's just time and size, and, you know, some of it's watercolor, so it's a little higher.
Yeah, the detail on this stuff is amazing.
I know. They almost look like drawn photographs, if I can say that. It's so, I mean, there's got to be like, you used up a whole cartridge of ink on each one. I mean, there's so many lines.
More ink than John uses on his printer at home in the morning.
Don't bring up that god-awful printer.
That's a sore story for him. Yeah, that's for another time. But, Mo, so I mean, you've been doing this your whole life.
Right.
What are your favorite things to draw? Like, do you have a certain favorite? Do you like human figures? Do you like doing mountains, lakes? I mean, do you like doing like
anything, landscape and horses? I love horses. I've been doing consignment work for individuals that have dogs that they want to have drawn, and
I was going to ask
a person.
Yeah, you commissioned people say, will you please draw my pets or?
Yeah.
They want them in the frame and everything. I would love for you to draw me as I am during the day, a depiction of me looking for my smartphone, because that's what I do most of the day.
You have to draw a picture of his head halfway
from the back.
Yeah, right, right, from the top, maybe. but that's funny. So Mo, where can people go and find your artwork other than up at the shop there?
Oh, I'm on Instagram, Mo Murray Art. M-O-E, capital M-U-R-R-A-T. Did I spell it right? M-U-R-R-A-Y-A-R-T.
Yeah.
Mo Murray Art. And then my email is momurray14@gmail.com. And you can always look at work in progress. My website is moe-murray.com. And Murray spelled M-U-R-R-A-Y. If you don't put the dash in, you might come up with another site.
Have you seen the other site?
People have told me.
Oh, well,
put the dash in.
Yep.
You know, I believe, though, this is a talent that you're born with.
Uh-huh.
I've tried. I am the worst at drawing and singing and hosting radio shows. But my childhood best friend had this amazing ability from like 8 years old to really draw like a master. Nobody trained him. He could have made, I feel, a great living at it. But what do most parents tell their kids when they say they want to be an artist? I mean, really. And that's probably why he...
Mom said, do it.
Really? I think most parents would be a little concerned if this is going to be their career to try to live on, because it's very... Isn't it very difficult to live on what you make as an artist?
I was lucky enough to work for Colorado State University, NOAA, NASA, and NSF doing their brochures, their displays, I mean, massive displays in community centers promoting the work of children all over the globe doing science with the scientist in real time. So that's www.globe.gov. If you ever want to look at a phenomenal site, I was part of that. I was the graphic designer for 13 years.
What? So you were a graphic designer for NASA? Pretty much? Let me ask you, this got very interesting. Have you actually drawn the globe?
Oh, no, you don't draw the globe. You work with satellites, and they put together the pieces and parts of all of the display as it's taken. As the satellites travel over the Earth, they get pieces of the sections of the
right.
Earth to put together. There's no way to draw the Earth.
Okay. Well,
I mean,
okay.
Earth.
Okay, yeah. Well, I wanted to hear that from you yourself. It's like, you know, people do wonder. They're always like, hey, you know, are those pictures made up maybe of the globe? And they've actually had people from NASA come out and say that you can't actually have a full picture of the globe. You have to put it in sections.
Right. It's on the GOES website on NASA. And just look for GOES, G-O-E-S, and they'll show you all the sections, and you can see parts of the Earth in real time on daylight and night and the stars. That's... And if you do it from the other side, you can see the stars and you can see the clouds.
That's interesting. We can go all the way to Mars, but we can't get a full picture of Earth. I still don't understand that.
We have to go to Mars and shoot it backwards.
Right. Well,
so apparently Frenchman Lake and Truckee and the Tahoe Rim Trail are your biggest inspirations.
Right.
And you like to throw a cabin or a cowboy or a horse into the scene when you go out there.
Oh, well, if I find a cabin, then I draw the cabin.
Very nice, Mo. So nice meeting you.
Nice yeah, this has been
you.
Great. And
John, I loved your show in the morning, and I miss you so much. I really do. I have his weird sense of humor. And when he would start laughing, I said, he's going to get in trouble with that one.
Well, the boss did not have the same sense of humor.
Well,
but I loved it.
Well, thank you, dear.
And just like everybody else, believe me, you're not the only one. We get multiple people saying that all the time. Mo, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're
going to
see you again. And Mo Murray right there, you can go and check out her art. And we are going to check out some real estate next. Yeah, with our local real estate expert from RE/MAX Gold. It's Rick Canale. Right here on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk, Radio, 99.1, KKFT. For Smith & Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
It's live and local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3. And just like each and every Saturday, we have our real estate from RE/MAX Gold. He is Rick Canale, and he is here to talk to us today about not just real estate, but also mortgages. Am I wrong about that, Rick?
Oh, you're absolutely correct. And we have a very special guest today and a special topic, and it's good to be here. You know, I'm your home sole guarantee guy, and among the guarantees that I have, I guarantee to sell your home at asking price, or I'll pay you the difference. But each and every Saturday, I want to talk about things that are pertinent to sellers and buyers. And today, our show is going to be around talking about the little-known facts that can help you buy your first home. And people who are out there looking to sell their home, they're saying, what's that got to do with me? It has a lot to do, because who's buying your home? The buyers, right?
Right.
And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. But before I get into that, normally I do the Rick's picks last, right?
Yeah.
And so today I just want to share one very important home.
That's so we're going to go right into Rick's picks.
Right into Rick's picks.
Or okay? Rick's pick.
Yeah, Rick's picks, right? Okay. and so if you're looking for value in a good location and security, there's a home in Gardnerville, 1424 Sugar Maple, and it's a very, very good bargain because it's low comparable price, and they're offering to the buyer a $10,000 credit at the close of escrow, which is a big, huge help to the buyer, okay?
Right.
And this place is a beautiful, spacious home, single-story, four-bedroom, two-and-a-half bath, two-car garage, 2082 square feet, and there's a lot more to it. But it's a real bargain, and if you have any questions about it, get a hold of me.
Okay, we'll talk after we get off the air, Rick.
Right.
Sounds like a good
Rick. Rick is just a ninja in a blazer.
In a blazer? He might be, man.
There you go. Well, you know, some of the problems that buyers are having, or you know, that they feel like they're trapped, right? And the American dream is still there. People still want to own a home, and they don't want to have to pay landlord or pay that rent. And but the problem that most renters are facing is not their ability to be able to pay that monthly payment because they're already doing it. Heavens to Betsy, they're sometimes they're paying more for rent than they are if they had a loan for a home. But the problem is accumulating enough capital to make a down payment on something more permanent. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about how they can do that. And so Brian Cushing is with me today, very special guest. He's been in the business for a long time, and he's with Guild Mortgage, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about some of the special programs that he knows about that can help buyers and some of the experiences he's had. And he's helped quite a few of my people get qualified for loans, and so it's really, really good to listen to him.
Well, Brian, good morning and welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
All right. So, Brian, talk to us about this 3-2-1 program that you have.
So 3-2-1 is a buy down. So Rick just mentioned credit from a seller. That was actually a pretty good segue. If you have some money from the seller, they can help prepay some of your interest and basically buy down your rate for the first year at 3% below the note rate.
Oh, wow.
Year two, 2% below the note rate. Year three, 1% below the note rate. And then you end up at your note rate 4 years from now. And something tells me you could refinance any time in between if the opportunity arose.
Right. Wow. I mean, because that right there could definitely make your payment a little bit cheaper coming right off the top. And
is it going up or down, the rate?
The rate in general?
Yeah.
I mean, it's been up all year. So we're leveled off from the year high back in June. But it's still really, I mean, in comparison, it's twice as much as it was this time last year.
Which is still low, right?
Well, yeah. That's the thing. This is where it's like, I get a lot of people say it's high. I'm like, well, I mean, in 1998, it was 7%, 8%. Oh. So
well, I'm old. I remember 17%.
And I'm not that old.
Well, one of the special things that Brian's talking about, this program that you brought up, Jay, is the that program. But there's a seller's side to that. There's something they have to get involved with this. Tell us a little bit about that, Brian.
Yeah, so basically what that 3-2-1 buy-down is the seller's contribution is paying the interest to make it 3% lower that first year and the scale-up. So effectively, you can't just go and get a 3-2-1 buy-down. You have to have the seller's participation. Now, that has been a non-conversation for how long now? It's been a seller's market.
Absolutely.
It's a conversation now.
And so, and so that's really become extremely important these days because of the high price of homes, right? The rise of interest rates. And that's really kept a lot of people out who wanted to buy a home. So this incentive is huge. I mean, it's really huge. Just went into contract with one of my listings this week because of that. And otherwise, it was going to sit in the market for a long time. But so this is.
Let me make sure I'm just hearing this right. So they can. You were saying basically, essentially, if someone's offering $10,000 up front or something to help out, they can use that to go on to the mortgage to make the mortgage basically at a cheaper rate for the first few years. So that is obviously something that happens after the sale is made for sure, or like, because I mean, you wouldn't want to go into that wondering, right? I mean,
you can't wonder. Yeah, no. So this has got to be the conversation. This is where negotiation comes in.
Right. Okay.
Like, I think if the seller's been in the seller's market and they can ask a price and then they've got multiple offers, but the only negotiation is how much more are you going to pay for the house than the next guy?
Right.
There's no next guy right now. So if you've got one offer, you know, potentially on the table, they came and saw your house, they want to maybe make an offer, but we got to massage the numbers. And on the pre-approval side, I mean, I'm more excited than I've been in a lot of years. It's way harder to get a loan, and you need a professional to help you. And this is the kind of thing where I can assist in the negotiation to make sure the buyer is taken care of and they get in on a house that maybe they couldn't have afforded, especially a year ago.
There's always that rush to lock in a low rate before it goes up again. And my gosh, I know a couple of people who kind of missed out, but the rates are still kind of low. But did you experience the mad rush of people trying to lock in that 3% or whatever the mortgage was some time ago?
Yeah. So there's always
Did the process take long to lock these things in? And
no, if you gave me your information in 15 minutes, I'd have you locked in.
Yeah.
But should you lock in? That's the question. So you can't lock in until you have a house.
Right.
So until you get on a purchase of a house, I mean, you can talk about it ahead of time. We do have a program that you can pre-lock, like a hedge for 90 days that we can cap your rate so it won't go past a certain level. And if you can't qualify past a certain level, that's a huge thing. But when you're on the traditional rate lock, when you have a house and you have a closing date in mind, if it's 30 days, 45 days from now, you can lock it for that long. If you're buying a new home, we can lock it up to 360 days, and that's like a hedge where you can float down. A lot of the builders are using that as a way, well, if we would have only seen this come in last December, a lot of people wouldn't be in a predicament right now where their rates higher, they couldn't have locked in, or they didn't think they should lock in. They thought these low rates will last forever.
Oh, I think a lot of people want to lock now because the word is the Fed is going to up things another 0.5% or something in the near future. So
looks like they're planning on it.
Yeah, I know.
But when the Feds increase their rate, that doesn't necessarily translate into the mortgage, does it?
So there's the bet is right now. So you're hearing 50 basis points. There's people say 75 basis points, 100 basis points, or who knows, right? None of us know. So this is the Wall Street bets coming in. So they're raising the short-term rate. That's the rate overnight from one bank to another. And that trickles down to the future of all the different types of rates. Your credit cards based on your federal funds rate or your prime rate that adjusts every time. On a mortgage, if I locked in your loan today, I can't deliver the loan until you finish closing on the house, right?
Right.
So I can't actually deliver it to my investor for 30, 40, 60 days from now. So we're having to plan what's going to be the market 60 days from now when we deliver that loan. That's what the mortgage company is doing. Now the consumer locks their rate. That's what the consumer wants. But on the background here, we have to produce that loan, you know, fulfill all the, you know, little check marks. If you've ever gotten a mortgage and you've had an underwriter ask you for two or three things two or three times, you know, there's a lot to it. But once you get to that finish line and you close, you get your keys, the mortgage company really has to go to work at that point.
You know, there are people like you who love numbers. I can't stand them. Drive me nuts.
You can tell I'm excited about it already.
Hey, we're going to have Nevada Math on next week. So they'll tell you all about numbers.
The key here is that what he's talking about is that people are qualifying for homes, okay, when they didn't think that they could, right? And from the seller standpoint, it's important to know this because the market certainly has changed where the last couple of years. I mean, it was just like somebody came with a loan, cash, you know, or $20,000, $100,000 over asking price, depending on the price point. They were selling, right? But now we're seeing, even though we have a little bit more inventory, we're still seeing the buyers kind of shut down because of these things. So for them to understand what a buyer needs and their expectations from a buyer when a contract does come in, an offer does come in, they now can say, okay, we understand the market better. And that's why it's important for a buyer to contact their professional, okay, their real estate, like me, Rick Canale, and then we get them in touch with people like the mortgage professionals, like Brian here, and we get them pre-approved, right? And that goes through underwriting the whole thing so that when they're ready to buy a home, they know what price point they're going to be buying, and then we work from there. From the person who's selling their home, they need to understand what a buyer needs because it's not what they want so much in the price of getting their home. It's what the buyers are going to be offering. And so understanding that whole process is important. So it's good to really sit down and talk with a real estate professional and a lender or a mortgage professional and go that way.
Well, there was an interesting statistic that Brian, you told us about all the houses that were sold, or around a million or more were sold for cash. Or there was a certain, or was it Rick?
That was Rick.
Okay. One of the guys.
Doesn't help me when they pay cash.
You know? Right. I guess not. Let's stray from that. No, but Rick, tell us about that. I thought that was a really interesting statistic.
Well, it's an interesting fact that came up this week where one of the agents who was working in that price point and was doing some investigation as to how to price a home. And one of the interesting facts is that a lot of the people that bought up in the over $1 million range were cash offers, okay? That means people
it's investors. Are
investors, okay? Yeah. And so that's important to know. But still, we are seeing a lot of homes sell still now, okay, at a lower price point. And it doesn't matter what that average price point is, whether it's $600,000 or whatever it is, because that just means that if it was $600,000, half the homes are selling over $600,000, half the homes are selling less than $600,000.
Right.
Well, so, that's fascinating stuff. We got to wrap
up. Anyway.
Rick and Brian, so nice to meet you, Brian. Appreciate it.
I do want to end up here real quick. If you want to free report the little known facts that can help you buy your first home, contact me and get it at rickhasbuyers.com.
Awesome.
All right. And rickcastsellers.com as well. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've got Brooke with the Nevada Day Parade coming in next. We're going to find out about all the festivities headed your way this October right here. It's next on Live and Local on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
Younger. Smarter. Better. FM Talk, KKFT, FM 99.1 is FM Talk. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk, KKFT.
It's Live and Local with John and Jay right here on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3. 775-884-9910 is our phone number. Got questions or comments? Please call in.
It's coming. It's the 158th birthday. And the 84th year in Carson, we're the only state to do it, the Nevada Day Parade. Although I think Utah does one, don't they?
I don't know.
They have a Pioneer Day.
I've heard Kentucky is also one that does it.
But oh, the heck with them.
Nobody does it like we do.
Nevada Day Parade. It's Brooke Santina, Nevada Day Executive Director, who puts on the Nevada Day Celebration and Parade every year. Hi, Brooke.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So I got to tell you, I announced the parade right in front of the Nevada State Museum.
Yes.
And it is an awesome event each and every year.
It's huge.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you sometimes you don't know. It might snow.
Right. But, we don't talk about that.
Right. But that's okay. But that's, you know what? That's Nevada.
Yes.
Put on your shorts. Come out. Even if it's snowing.
I don't recall it ever being stopped because of weather.
No.
That has never happened, uh-uh. Right?
No, not that I
you
know of.
You can't stop it.
We're still going to walk. We're still going to march. Yes. We're still going to drive down the street.
Can I make a new rule for the Nevada Day Parade? The horses should go last.
I know. Well, they're supposed to clean up after themselves, and they usually do. They're usually pretty good.
I got to tell you, when I'm up there on the announcing stage and the guy, the pooper scoopers,
yes.
I always give them love. I'm like, come on, give some cheers, Northern Nevada, for your pooper scoopers, because those are the guys keeping things moving along.
Absolutely. And excuse me, we would never put a band behind them. I'll tell you that much.
So what's new this year with the Nevada
Day Parade? I have to say, well, I'm new for starters, which I've been doing this since January. I took over for Ken Hamilton, who had been the executive director for 12 years and did a phenomenal job.
Yes.
So it's big shoes to fill, but I'm happy to try. This year we have this crazy celebration. The theme is nutty. It's Carnival on the Comstock, which pretty much it's sort of a Mardi Gras theme, and we don't want people flashing or anything, but this is a family event, but we wanted to give everybody some fun time. Just let loose a little bit, dress up, have fun, enjoy yourself.
It's such a big event. It goes, what, over 2 hours?
Oh, it's a four-hour parade.
Yeah.
A four-hour parade. Right. All I know is when we're through announcing, our voices are shot.
Yeah, it's over 200 entries last year.
Yes.
200
yes.
entries.
And we don't know how many this year. We're only at 50 right now. But part of that is because one of the things that's new this year is I've been having a heck of a time getting everything online, only because we were with a really expensive, fancy parade software, but it was a little over our heads, and we didn't need that much. So we downsized, so now we're kind of scrambling to get things going. A lot of paper, doing a lot of old-school stuff with paper this year.
There you go.
It works.
Another big change that happened was a while back, the Nevada Day Parade was held on Halloween.
Right, which is the actual
why
birthday.
Why did that stop?
I don't know. Somebody put in that they wanted to do it on the last Saturday of the month, and I can't tell you who because it was before my time.
I
believe it was a lawmaker that made that change, and there's also a lawmaker that's been trying to get it back to the 31st.
Well,
I don't know.
I will never forget one year, the Wolfman walking right behind the Nevada governor. I think it was Richard Bryan. I mean, there were Halloween costumes along the parade route
and
mixed in the parade. You had Frankenstein celebrating the birth of our fine state.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Oh, the
well, maybe
the
that's
optics,
a good thing now that we don't. And maybe that's the positive of not having it on Halloween itself. Plus, kids are doing things on Halloween.
Yeah.
You know, it is a big day for their families as well.
Speaking of which, what's the candy on the parade route situation? Are they allowed to throw the candy?
No throwing, but you can walk it over and hand it to people. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
We've got vehicles driving down the road, sometimes two at a time, and people are watching a million different directions. They have to, you know, they're going forward, but they're also trying to figure out their distance from the people in front of them, and they might have horses behind them or horses or whatever. Who knows? The point is, we can't expect people to watch after your children running into the street to get a piece of candy that didn't quite make it to the sidelines.
Yeah, got to always remind them of that when you're doing the announcing there, too.
It's
for
hugely
sure.
important because, you know, kids will just run right in. They don't think.
People set up their little lawn chairs the night before.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've stayed overnight at hotels when I announce, and they claim their spot a full 12 hours.
It is serious
before
stuff.
The parade.
And don't even think you're going to move them over like an inch because it's serious.
I love that town, by the way.
It's fun. Thank you.
Well, we definitely, what is the actual date?
It's the 29th.
The 29th of October.
It starts at 10. It'll go till 2. But we do have balloons that go up that morning at 8 o'clock. We have the Navy doing a flyover. I asked for the jets. I got my fingers crossed. They said they approved it, but I don't know what we're going to get yet. But it is going to be from the Navy and Fallon, which is exciting.
I think your parade is the one reason why this guy keeps up with his Republic of Molossia.
Yes.
I mean, he doesn't get the publicity like in the old days.
That guy.
If it weren't for the parade, that republic wouldn't exist.
He is in. He's already signed up.
Now, the Mardi Gras theme, that's going to be different with those Black Rock City guys at the end throwing the flames and stuff. We're going to have to watch.
As much as we really want people to have fun, we have to keep it clean. That's the only thing we ask.
All right.
It is a family event, and we're trying to make sure that everybody gets to enjoy themselves.
All right. Well, Brooke, thank you so much for joining us this morning Live and Local. And get on out there on October 29th, check out the Nevada Day Parade. Hopefully, John and me will be out there announcing. Yeah. Regardless, we're going to be back. We have the writer of WASP, Ken Beaton. He's going to be on with us next here on Live and Local with John and Jay on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.